It's like echoing in my ears. I posted on Facebook that that day had been a very sad day for America. And I was going to leave it sit there for a couple hours and then prophesy differently than what we were seeing and reading in the news. But then I felt like, nope, I'm just going to leave it hang. And there was all kind of responses like, what's he talking about? What's going on? We don't even know. And that's okay. But you need to know that what you see in the news, what you hear from both parties, and what's really going on is different things, man. There's a lot of things going on in the spirit realm, an all-out war for this nation. And it really has nothing to do with Democrats and Republicans and impeachment and all of those things. It has to do with spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And I want to tell you that one of the things God showed me is that America, a lot of America, has fallen under and being blinded by the God of this world. Scripture says that the God of this world has blinded the mind of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the glory of the gospel of Christ. And I don't just think that means believers as far as believers in Christ, but you can be a believer in Christ and still not believe a lot of things about the kingdom, right? And that's what I think it's talking about. I think there's a lot of Christians who are being blinded by the enemy in these times. And we need to wake up, church. We need to wake up. And one of the things I felt the Lord said was that, and I'm not here to offend political parties, I'm just going to speak what I see, what I believe God showed me, that the Democratic Party is under a spirit of Jezebel right now. And they are trying to usher in complete lawlessness and rebellion in this country to the point where if they get control, America will cease to exist as we know it. And at the same time, I believe the Republican Party is under a spirit of Ahab. That, go back and read about Ahab and Jezebel. If you want to know what I'm talking about, really. But Ahab permitted Jezebel to wreak havoc. And he was the king. He was the one who had the authority to stop it, and he didn't. And I believe that we as a church need to begin to pray for this nation to come out from under the blinders that we are in. We need to pray for the Democratic Party to come out from under the spirit of Jezebel that they are under. And we need to pray for the Republican Party to come out from under this Ahab spirit. And maybe later tonight we'll get into a few of those things. Sorry if I offended your political views. This isn't about politics. This is about a war. And you may find this hard to believe, but from a national viewpoint, I believe this is one of the greatest battles that has ever existed on this planet. If not the greatest. Because what God has destined America to be and to do affects the rest of the planet like no other nation ever. There were great nations in biblical times, the Roman empires and, you know, Babylonian empires and all these things, but they controlled a region of the world, and they were the most powerful nations in those regions. But America What goes on in America affects the whole world. Because that's the destiny that God chose for this nation. And this isn't my message tonight. I don't even know why I'm saying all this. But it's coming out, so. I want to talk to you tonight for a little bit about the example of Jesus. And it's really cool, the songs that were brought out tonight, because it so enforces what I want to talk about. I want to read a couple of scriptures first. Luke 4:18 says this, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recover of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." This is a scripture that Jesus read in the synagogue, and he later proclaimed that this very day that scripture is fulfilled in your ears. And they almost stoned him to death because of it. Acts 10:38 says, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil." Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil. 1 John 3:8 says that the reason that Jesus came was to destroy the work of the devil. And in Matthew chapter 4, I know I'm moving quickly, but I don't want to spend a lot of time on these verses. Matthew 4, scripture says this in verse 23. "Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people." Jesus went around preaching the good news and healing every sickness and disease among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them all. How many of you know that Jesus is our example? Or he should be. Of all the people that I admire in Scripture, and there was a lot of great men and women that I admire, but none of them compared to Jesus. And see, he modeled for us a lifestyle that I believe God wants all believers to live like. He showed us the reality of someone who lives from a heavenly realm towards the earth. He showed us the reality of a man just like us, but who was totally submitted to God and totally obedient to the Holy Spirit, and what possibilities existed if we would surrender just like he did and allow the Holy Spirit to work through us like he did. And we've talked about these things numerous times. We've even talked about, we can't explain why things don't happen sometimes. And in one sense, I'm content with that. I'm not going to get all freaked out when something doesn't happen. I'm going to live up to what I've already obtained. I'm going to do what God's shown me to do in the moment. But in another sense, there's a part of me that knows there's more. There's more. My goal, and I may never get there, but one of my goals in life is to get to the place that the guy that modeled his life for me, the guy that I look to as my example, that somehow I could get to the place where every person that I prayed for gets healed. Now you really think I'm crazy, right? Is he not our example? I may never get there, but I'm sure going to try. And every time I pray for someone who doesn't get healed, I said, Lord, whatever's in me that hinders your spirit from flowing freely through me, would you remove it? We got to change the way we think, church. In one sense, let's not be freaked out and discouraged and dismayed because things aren't happening. Let's be content that for the things that do happen. But in another sense, let's change the way we think and let's pursue more than what we have. Let's look at Jesus as our example. Jesus taught us to pray on heaven, on earth as it is in heaven. Did he not? When the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray, what did he say? He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That should be our prayer. I want to see on earth what it's like in heaven. Is anybody dying of cancer in heaven? Do you understand what I'm saying? On earth as it is in heaven. And I believe in order to see these things, we have to learn how to co-labor with Christ. We are co-laborers. A lot of us have this syndrome, like a false humility, that if we preach a good sermon, or we do a good thing for someone, or if God uses us to heal someone, and somebody says, oh, thank you, that was a blessing, we say, oh, it wasn't me, it was God. Is there truth in that? Absolutely. But you know what? If you had not done your part, God could not have done his part. And so we are co-laborers. Do you understand that? There are times when God does sovereign moves. I've been in meetings where we were worshiping and people got healed and nobody prayed for them. That's a sovereign move of God. These things pop into my head from out of nowhere. A number of years ago, I was praying one time, and I felt like the Lord said to me, I'm sending you back to Trace Diaz to introduce them to the power of the Holy Spirit. Wasn't a week later, this man sitting right here said to me, I just really feel God's calling you back to Trace Diaz, because I had quit attending for a while to bring the power of the Spirit. About a week or two later, I ran into Gary somewhere. Guess what he said to me? Remember that? God's calling you back to Trace Diaz. And so I signed up to work the next weekend. It was a women's weekend. And I had just been on some mission trips to Brazil and stuff, and God was doing all kind of wonderful, awesome miracles. And I was so excited for this weekend. But at the same time, I was terrified. Because I thought, you know what? If I start praying for people and they start falling down and stuff, Trace Diaz is going to kick me out. Like, and so for 6 months leading up to that weekend, I was praying for God to come, but come in such a nice way that nobody gets offended. He laughed at me just like you did. So we're at lunch Friday afternoon. Some lady walks by me. I'm not going to tell you who it is. Asks me if I have any aspirin or ibuprofen or anything because she has a terrible headache. I said, how about if I pray for you? She said, okay. As soon as I touched her, wham, she hits the floor. I'm thinking, oh my God, now what am I going to do? I didn't even pray for her yet. I don't know how, but nobody saw her. She got up, sat back in her chair. She said, it's gone. It's gone. So she goes around telling people, Rick prayed for me and my headache is gone. Next thing I know, some other lady comes up. Hey, I got a headache too. Will you pray for me? Okay, bam. She hits the floor. I'm like, you know, trying to cover her up. That night, we're having Catholic Mass. How many of you remember old Trace Diaz? We used to have a Catholic Mass on Saturday night. The priest is up there preaching a really good sermon that night. I don't know if any of you were there. All of a sudden, one of the candidates sitting in the back starts screaming, bloody murder. She falls to the floor, shaken violently, screaming. Women are freaked out. Some of them are running for their bedroom. Some of them are calling 911. Nobody knows what's going on. I went over and laid hands on her. And God said to me at that moment, cast that spirit of lesbianism out of her. So I laid hands on her and I said, I command lesbian to leave her now in the name of Jesus. And there were people there, team and candidates saw this green thing leave her. And some of them smelled the stench of it. And I'm telling you, it freaked people out. And I'm standing there thinking, thanks for coming in nice and quietly, Lord. That was a sovereign move of God that ushered in a season of tremendous, tremendous signs and wonders and miracles and presence of God on those weekends. And I'm not going to say anything more about that for now. Do it again, Lord. But you see, when all of that started to happen, the enemy rose up. And since that time, he's been working very hard to shut it all down. And I've been working very hard to try to keep the peace and yet allow God to be God. Just about every weekend I get in trouble. And it frustrates me sometimes that I just say, that's it, I'm done, I'm walking away. And yet every weekend God says, you ain't done yet. Because God still wants to do what he does. He still wants to save. He still wants to heal. He still wants to set people free. And he's just looking for people like you and me who will be obedient to his spirit, even if it causes us to suffer at the hands of men. We have to choose to co-labor with him. Because he asks us to do really what's impossible for us to do. I can't heal anyone in and of myself. I can't save anyone. I can't deliver anyone in and of myself. But through His Spirit working through us, we can do these things that seem impossible for us. And I believe one of the keys to doing that is to simply learn how to say what God is saying. What do I mean by that? Anything in our lives that opposes the will of God or the purpose of God, we need to speak to that mountain and tell it to go. We need to speak it, declare it, decree it, not just wish it in our hearts or think about it in our minds. In Mark chapter 4, there's a story that you all know. I'm going to read it anyway. Starting at verse 35, it says, "That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side.'" What was the will of God at that moment? Get to the other side, right? Immediately, the enemy brings opposition to that. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. They're all freaked out. They're going to drown, and he's sleeping. The disciples woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up and rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. Then he said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The will of God in that situation was what? Get to the other side. The enemy brought opposition to that. And in Jesus saying to his disciples, "Don't you have any faith?" What was he saying? You should have spoke to the wind and the waves yourself. Because you knew what the will of God was in this situation. I want you to think about things that God has spoke to you, or things that have been prophesied to you, or things that even God has declared to you through His Scripture, that you knew He was speaking to you through His written word at that moment. Dreams that you've had because of what you've dreamt and what people have spoken over you, and yet they seem to be lost because the enemy has brought so much opposition. And I believe what God is saying is we need to start speaking to those mountains and telling them to move. We're waiting for God to do it, and God's up there saying, "I'm telling you to do it." We pray for things that God is saying, "I've given you authority to do that. Can I mess with you a little bit?" God never once told us to pray for the sick. Jesus never told his disciples to pray for the sick. What did he tell them? He told them to heal the sick. Oops. Oops. There's a huge difference, right? Jesus healed them all. And he says to us, go and preach the good news, heal the sick, drive out demons, freely you have received, freely give. That won't happen unless we begin to say what God is saying. We need to learn to hear from God. To believe what he says, and then to speak those things to the situations that we find ourselves in. You know what that requires? Relationship. If I don't spend time in my relationship with God, how am I going to hear from him? Whether he speaks to me through his written word or whether he speaks to me, well, however he speaks to us. So when we're confronted with things, church, and we're all confronted with things, how many of you have a perfect life and nothing ever goes wrong? How many of you have things go wrong daily? What's our response to be? We need to get alone with God, listen for him to hear what he's saying to us, and then we need to speak to that thing what he is saying about it. Because our authority and our power comes simply from declaring what he has said. Because it's his word at that point. It's not mine. God spoke and the earth was created. His words carry authority and power to create life. And if I'm just speaking to those things in my own understanding or whatever, usually I'm speaking death to it and feeding it more. Because all I do is complain and all this stuff. I need to get alone with God and speak what he's saying. Jesus said in Mark 11:22, have faith in God. I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Why do we doubt in our hearts? Because most of the time, we're speaking from our own understanding, and we're not speaking what he has said about it. What has God said concerning the impeachment of our president? So why? I wasn't weirded out when I posted that on Facebook the other day. You need to understand. I was setting a trap. Why are we all freaked out? Because the Democrats voted to do something they've been doing for the past 3 years already. Why are we worried that our president's going to be impeached when God prophesied through numerous people that that's never going to happen? You know what we need to do? We simply need to say what he says. When we pray, we declare, God, you said that President Trump would not be impeached, and we decree that and declare it, and I don't care what the enemy tries to do, we declare it's not going to happen in Jesus' name. And then we need to be at peace inside because we said what he says. What has God said about this president having his second term? Now, do we believe what God says or don't we? I'm not at all worried about impeachment. I'm not worried about who's going to be the next president. I know who's going to be the next president. He's got 4 more years coming. Not because I want it, but because he said it. Do you understand what I'm trying to get across to you? We got to have faith in what God says, but we got to speak what he says. We got to hear what he says and then speak those things, declare those things, and then watch them happen. Jesus again modeled this for us. How many times in the scriptures does it say statements like this, where Jesus said, I only speak what I hear my Father saying. I only do what I see my Father doing. In John 12:49, Jesus said that the Father not only told him what to say, but how to say it. Sometimes we say the right thing, but we say it the wrong way. When Jesus said, look, if we're really hearing from God, he'll not only tell us what to say, he'll tell us how to say it so that it releases life and not death. I believe that simply repeating what the Father says causes faith to arise in us. It's already in there, but it causes it to arise in us. And it removes any doubt that the enemy might try and plant in our heart that would cause this thing not to happen. Because at that moment, it's not what we want. It's not what we think. It's not what anybody says. It's not what the media says or this guy says or that guy says. It's not even what the church says, so to speak. It's what God has said. Everything in this book is what God has said. Do we believe what he says or not? And can we simply repeat what he says about things? Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. So when we say what God is saying, realities are created. Impossible situations become possible. Did God or did he not say, with God, nothing is impossible? Now, how many of you know what the Greek word for nothing means? Don't mean nothing, does it? If God says nothing is impossible, and that his words are spirit and they are life, if we simply hear from him, again, whether that's what he speaks to us directly or even from the scriptures, whatever, or the 100 other ways that he speaks to us, when we say what he says, nothing is impossible. Because nothing is impossible for him. And I'm not saying it. I'm just simply repeating what he says. I'm declaring to the situation what God has said about it. I don't know about you, but that excites me. I love repeating what I hear God say. This past Trace Dias weekend, Thursday night, I'm giving the first meditation. And I get a prophetic word for a lady. And Thursday night's supposed to be calm and No hype and all that stuff. I said, well, I got to obey. And so I said to this lady that God wants you to know that though your earthly father never told you that he loved you, that he's proud of you, God wants you to know he loves you very much and he's so proud of you. And she starts bawling. And then I said to her something about how frustrated and how overwhelmed she's felt as a pastor's wife because nobody ever gave her a book, book 101 on being a pastor's wife. Now imagine the chance I'm taking. Because I've never seen this lady in my life. I know nothing about her. But I'm prophesying to her she was a pastor's wife. Guess what turned out? She was a pastor's wife. I went on to say some other things to her, and she came up to me later that night, and she said, you have no idea how accurate everything you said to me was, and you have no idea of the garbage that God set me free of tonight just by you releasing those words to me. What did I do? I simply spoke what God said. And it changed her life. And I could testify of 100,000 times that's happened. His words are spirit and they are life. And they create realities that break through the impossible to bring life and healing and salvation and all of those things. Because see, our authority and our power come from saying what he is saying and doing what he is doing. Because if I'm out there saying my own thing and doing my own thing, what's going to happen? He's not required to back it up at that point. But if I say what he says and I do what he does, and he's the one that said, my word will not return to me void, but it will accomplish the good purpose for which I send it. So if I speak his word, if I release what he is saying, he has to perform it. Imagine the possibilities. If I can somehow spend a few moments to hear what he's saying and release his words, imagine the possibilities. Scripture says that the mouth speaks out of the overflow of the heart. You know what I can't do? I can't give you something I don't possess in here. Because what's going to come out of my mouth is what's in here. And if what's in here is what I've heard him say and speak about a situation or a person or anything like that, then what's going to come out? What he says. And his words are spirit and they are life. But if what's in here is, oh my God, they're trying to impeach Trump, what are we going to do? If that's what's in here, guess what? I can't speak life to that situation. All I can do is complain about it and live in fear. That's not what God wants. And we actually empower the enemy when we do that. We need to learn how to pray until we possess what he's saying about it. And once we possess it, then we can decree it and watch it happen. You know what I just heard God say? That statement was more powerful than anybody in this room realizes. Think about it. Once we possess inside of us what he is saying about a person, a situation, our lives, whatever it is, and we speak that and we declare it, then he's obligated to make it happen. Too often, we're confronted with things and we react according to what we see the enemy doing, instead of not acting until we see what God is doing. That's a good word, I'm telling you. That's a good word. I don't say that to brag, I'm just telling you. I heard Jesus say it. That's a good word, Rick. Yeah, now you really think I'm crazy, right? Think about it. If we stop reacting to what we see the enemy doing and start only acting when we see what God is doing, what a difference it would make. Jesus, come quickly. Our brother is sick. He's going to die. You need to get here. I'll be there in a couple days. What would we have all done? Jumped in our cars, rushed to Lazarus' house, laid hands on him and prayed. Never once considering what God showed us. And the disciples and everybody's freaking out. Lord, we need to go. He's like, it's okay. Lazarus isn't dead. He's just sleeping. See, he didn't react to what the enemy was doing. He waited till he heard from his father, and then he acted upon that. And what happened when he did? Lazarus come forth. Whew. Church, stop reacting. Reactions are of the flesh. Start listening, seeking, hearing, and then speaking not what's of the flesh, but that which is of the Spirit. Because the Spirit takes what God says. The Spirit takes the words of God and brings life through them. I don't want to scare anybody. A young lady, I heard the Lord say that he put something inside of you that is yet to be realized. And there's a lot of things even going on here tonight that maybe you've never experienced before, but he's put a hunger deep down inside of you. A desire for more of him and more of his kingdom, to the point where I believe you have a heart to see people get saved. You have a heart to be like an evangelist and a missionary, because God is calling you to those things. And I believe that God is going to send you to different places around the world. So he's saying to you, Get ready. Prepare yourself. Get your passport because you're going to need it. Keep your suitcase packed because I'm going to send you here and there and everywhere to proclaim my truth and to release my truth. And many are going to get saved through you, young lady. And I see this. I'm going to call it this black thing in your stomach. And I hear the Lord saying, there's been a generational curse released against you and your family, that you have stomach issues. And I heard the Lord say, I want to cut that off of you tonight. And so in the name of Jesus, I take the sword of the Spirit, and I declare to you that that generational curse over your life is broken tonight in Jesus' name. And I declare that your stomach is healed tonight in Jesus' name. And I release you to be the woman of God that He is calling you to be. And God wants you to know that He has a plan that it is all set up. And all He wants you to do is walk in obedience to that. Seek Him and hear from Him and listen to what He tells you. And He will do great and mighty things through you, says God. How many of you in this place tonight would say, there's a generational curse that runs in my family, whether it's some type of physical disease like diabetes or heart disease or some type of whatever that runs in your family line? If that's you, would you come forward tonight? If you recognize there's some type of generational curse in your family lines, I want you to come forward tonight. Whoa! Look around, church. There's more of you up here than there are back there. And I'm not saying that to put you down or anything, but this is what the enemy has been using in your life to hold you down, to hold you back, to keep you in bondage. And I heard the Lord say, and that's why I'm doing this. I had no intention of doing this tonight, but I heard the Lord say that tonight He wants to cut off of you every generational curse that's ever been released against you. And I just want you to receive it. Just receive it. So in the name of Jesus, I take the sword of the Spirit and I cut every chain of every generational curse that has ever been brought against all of these people standing here tonight. I release them from these generational curses and I bless their family lines instead. I bless, 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 I bless. I bless in Jesus' name. I break every curse in the name of Jesus. And I bless, 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 and I bless instead of curse. I bless instead of curse. I bless, I bless, I bless, I bless, I bless, I bless instead of cursing. And I declare that that thing stops here tonight. It stops here tonight. Physical sickness and disease that has been passed down through the generation, be gone in Jesus' name. Fears and phobias that have been passed down through generations, be gone in Jesus' name. Issues of the mind, Alzheimer's disease, schizophrenia, all those things, be gone in the name of Jesus. Issues of the heart, rejection and fear and loneliness and depression, be gone in the name of Jesus. Your Father in heaven loves you tonight. Receive what He is saying to you tonight in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 You may be seated, or you may stand. Actually, don't be seated. I want everybody to come forward tonight. Don't be afraid. I'm not going to do anything. We're going to pray tonight. Mr. Brady.